like a big sporting event, like an esports event. And I come in and I say, every single person who's active right now will get one social token, like right now, just because it's Sunday morning and, you know, we're excited. And maybe there's like 100,000 people there. And so like doing 100,000 transactions on chain is very challenging, to say the least. Hey guys, what's going on?
Well, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We're actually really pumped because, like, some context for everybody and for yourself as well. Like, Roll was one of the first projects when we were kind of creating a list at the start of this podcast. Roll was one of the first projects that we thought was really interesting. And so it worked out really well when we had Harrison first on, because he's got some connection with you guys. He actually doesn't work with you guys, I think, artist relations stuff. And so he's like, yeah, let me just connect you with Sid and it will work. And so this has worked out really well. So thank you so much for coming on.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm very, very excited to speak with you guys.
Love it. So could you maybe give us a bit of a, for people who aren't aware what Roll is, could you give us a little quick brief thesis proposition, what Roll does and sort of where the solution maybe that it's trying to solve?
Yeah. So, you know, high level, we think of Roll as essentially building infrastructure for social tokens. And, you know, the idea of social tokens is kind of interesting. It's essentially along like the mass democratization of like value itself. So, you know, like an analogy that, you know, we like to give is like if you were to roll the clock back to, you know, like 1960s, 1970s, for example, and if you wanted to be, you know, there's like three major TV channels, like in the US on your ABC, NBC, CBC, right? And if you ever be heard, like if your voice has to be heard, you have to be on one of those three channels, essentially. And then we kind of like moved through this era of mass personalization of content, right? And so like now you have YouTube, it's not three, it's like 30 million and, you know, more and counting every day. And so like we went from this idea that, you know, you have to be really good and you have to be a certain, to follow certain, a given system that's in place for you to be heard by the world. And that literally, you know, there are like four radio stations and like, you know, five book publishers. And so essentially there's like, you know, like 20 gatekeepers. And that's pretty much like all that the world hears through those lenses to like the world we are in now. And it's a much different world, right? And so I think like we're kind of seeing a similar shift that's happening from like user-generated content to like the next phase of, you know, like user-generated value or user-generated money in some ways. And so like Roll is leading the shift with that, like in terms of like building infrastructure for social tokens. So like we don't see this as like a next cycle, you know, 2-year play or something. Like we think like, you know, this is like a thing that's like a cyclical change in like over the next several decades. Like this is how, you know, like communities will natively evolve on the internet over time. So that's, yeah. That, and then, you know, our job is then to kind of like build that infrastructure for that category. So that means like tools for, let's like everything from easy distribution, creation of value, how can, you know, creators use this and across the platforms, right? So we also do like both Web3 and Web2, and we can jump deeper into that as well. You know, that's essentially like the vision of what we're building at Roll.
Yeah, great. So Roll is a social token that creates online memberships through ERC20 tokens. So it's considered a public good on the Roll site. Does that mean it works like a protocol, or is it more of a platform that users pay for, and they're paying for that infrastructure?
Yeah. So everything Web3 is really Web3, and by that I mean it is kind of this permissionless, you know, like way for you to like use the contracts and all that. Given we were how early we were and when we started, there is like one point of centralization which you know, we are still like thinking of how exactly to build this going forward, which is essentially just the approval process. So which is like, if we mint the token via the Roll contracts or not is actually controlled by a multisig. And apart from that, so all the other products that we're building, and you know, this was like early days, like when we didn't know, like, you know, someone's going to mint like AAPL through Roll contracts. Like, what does that even like mean legally? Like, just like, there are like many questions there. So it was, or no, someone mints BTC or ETH or something. And then I don't know how that translates into the real world. And so we kind of, you know, took a more cautious approach, I would say, you know, again, in the very long term, you know, like our vision is to have like literally millions of tokens. So like, I don't know how that translates. I don't think it's like me and my co-founder sitting there approving a million tokens every day. So it's probably like a different world, but like for now, that's like one point of centralization. But, and I do want to emphasize, right? Like, because, so there's no, for example, like when we mint ERC20 tokens, there's no backdoors, there's no admin keys. So, you know, you had Harrison first come over, for example. So there's, he has like a first token, and the max supply of first token is 10 million. And there's no way to change that. Like, not even Harrison can change that, and not even we can change that. Like, there's no multisig to control that part of the behavior, right? And we think, like, that's important. I think, like, a lot of DAOs, for example, are not doing it the right way, because it gives too much power in terms of, like, you know, your majority. Because, like, what generally happens is you'll start with 100 tokens. You have, you know, you and your buddies say, hey, I think we deserve a bonus of 1,000 tokens. And that gives all, like, 10 of them to investors. And then, you know, just, like, messes up the whole structure. So, like, we don't want that, right? Like, so if you have 10 million tokens, we want you to have certainty that, let's say you have 10,000 tokens of that particular, like, if you have 10,000 first, for example, that means you will forever be 0.1% owners in Harrison First community. And that cannot be taken away from you, right? So there's, like, very strong property rights, which is what, like, blockchain is very good at. So we want to make sure that exists. So no centralizations on, like, the Web3 side. The Web2 side is different. Like, we cannot do that by kind of doing going permissionless. So that's a completely optional thing, right? Like, you may choose to use our, like, Web2 role wallet, or you may not. But, like, the future vision for that is, like, it's much easier to integrate that into existing social platforms. So yes, then we'll have that level of centralization.
Gotcha. There's a lot in that response there. I might pick out a couple of things, maybe tokenomics stuff for a second there. So you said 10 million for everyone. I think that's across the board, right? Is what I was reading online. And I think you do a standard vesting period of 1 year. Is that right as well for every token? Or is that a little bit based on the actual project?
Yeah, so vesting is completely optional. So when we started, we started with a 3-year fixed. But like, our smart contracts now can vest over any period of time.
Okay, gotcha.
So you get to specify, right? Like, so our UI will provide you some best guidance. I think, like, right now we vest as a suggested vesting is 1 year, but we've had people, like, I think we vested, like, one token for 10 years. And then there's tokens that don't vest at all. Completely fine, right? And the other interesting thing with vesting is, like, when we started, it was more kind of like, let's take that to the creator wallet and all that. But, like, over time, you're seeing a lot of these DAOs they vest to their treasury. So, like, a Gnosis multisig. So kind of as we move in that spectrum of decentralization, we'll see, like, more and more integrations with the existing, you know, like, Web3 ecosystems, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, great. So with the, you've got vesting, you've got, like, a kind of DAO structure that you can build around it, which is really cool. I always find it really fascinating, the breakdown of the treasuries on some of those DAOs, because they've often, like, you know, they'll have 30% is owned by, you know, original founder, and you're wondering how decentralized is it really? But you know, there's a lot of different players in some of those things, and some of them are what the Web3 should actually be, which is cool. So role memberships work with the system where you deposit those ERC20 tokens into the role membership smart contracts. You determine how many tokens per lot, the lot price, and if there's an allow list. So is that the general setup of how to get started with integrating Roll into your product? Like, do you start with, say, is there an SDK that someone would take and then develop into their own site? And would they just have to, say, select a few of those basics within the SDK? And then their users are ready to go and ready to start buying lots is one thing that you guys use.
Yeah, so it's a good question, but I think, like, let me take, like, a step back towards, like, how we came here, right? So memberships is a fairly recent product that we launched, like, not very long ago. So generally, like, the idea of social tokens is pretty broad and does not have specifically to do with these tools. But, like, one of the, like, big things that it solved for us was a couple of things, right? Like, one was in the traditional world, it was the Web3 equivalent of creator monetization. So that's, like, your Patreon-esque way, but instead of, you know, giving your creator $10 a month and, I don't know, like, getting a t-shirt once a year, you actually become a part of their community in a very vested way. And so, you know, like, the analogy, so let's say you're on Spotify and there's a emerging artist you really like, and you just, like, love their work, and you think, you know, they can really do, you know, something good with their art. Would you prefer, I don't know, like, tipping them $5, or would you prefer, like, tipping them $10, but now you actually own, like, 100 tokens of their, like, social token, right? Like, you're vested in a way that you're just not possible in a traditional Web2 world. So, like, you know, that part was one. And then the other one was simply, like, DAO, like, bootstrapping, right? So if we adopt this, like, DAO structure of having, like, this Gnosis multisig, for example, and then that initial membership into the DAO becomes, your treasury that you're starting with. So imagine like a very simple investment DAO, for example. So you have 100 people, everyone's contributing one ETH. And so, you know, through the memberships product, you can send one ETH, that ETH goes into the multisig, and then you get, let's say, 1,000 tokens, right? And so like 1,000 times 100, there'll be 100,000 tokens. And then you have kind of like build the treasury. That's your initial people. So you could kind of like build that. You know, all of these things like ultimately are kind of, you know, levers that you can pull in terms of like value that you're kind of generating from the from your community, right? So we kind of like see that split. And I guess like to your point as well, like when you said, you know, like 30% going to founders for a DAO and stuff, like we have seen like pretty egregious, like, you know, distributions as well. But if you look at the long tail of creators, for example, a lot of them are communities that are centered around like that centralized like person, right? Like an artist kind of thing being kind of common. So like, even though, you know, Harrison is like amazing, he's built a, like an incredible community around like First and all of his work. But like even that you'll find like pretty centralized in terms of like the actual work, you know, who's doing, like it is a community, but it's still like more of him. So, you know, like for those types of communities as well, that distribution becomes wide. So, you know, when we make those decisions, like for us, like we don't want to get into the specific decisions a community needs to make. So like we will give you the tools to do 5% or 50%. We will drive the best practices through our UI and by, you know, like other content that we put out and just like talking about the space and how we do things and provide success stories. But like at the end of the day, like we want to provide that flexibility as well.
Gotcha. So the Harrison First example is a good one. From what I remember him telling us about, there was a few sort of use cases that he was using the tokens for. So one of them was he's got his platform where people can jump on and they can access some of his music and media, like audio files that he's created. So it gives his fans access to that sort of database of content, which was really cool. And then it also gave them access to his DAO. And I think he was talking about a few things where he was allowing the DAO to make contributions to where his, or what his approach was as an artist. Should I drop this NFT? I think one thing he said is, should I drop this NFT and not put the song on DSPs, or should it be an NFT and on DSPs? And so he was getting contributions and people to sort of wait on that. Are you aware of any other solutions? And I guess my other question is like, how does that work around like, and maybe this is a good segue into how it works in Web 2, like how can you implement this not a paywall, but how can you implement this verification that people own the tokens on something like, you know, a, I don't know, like a Discord, is that possible? Or on something that is a platform that's already sort of a Web 2 style platform, but using, you know, these tokens that are sort of inherently Web 3?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say like the Web 2 equivalent is like people do these polls. Right. So people will do something like, you know, you're like a beauty influencer. You'll say like, hey, should I wear a red dress or a white dress today? Yes. Like people, it's like low stakes. Right. And then people like vote. Yeah. And then one vote will get popular on 4chan. And then all of a sudden they're going to like troll something about, you know, like some kind of absurd thing. Right. The good thing with like social token voting is that there's skin in the game in some ways. And so, you know, presumably you are like invested in that community enough, like, again, in a very real way. That, you know, your 4chan trolls probably will not be able to like, you know, alter the outcome of your vote pretty easily, right? That's going to be a substantially bigger ask there. The Web2 segue is interesting, right? Because like when we think of like social tokens, again, like, you know, again, me and my co-founder, we've been in the space for like a long time. Like we see the vision of like Web3, the decentralized future and all that. And obviously like we're completely bought in, and that's pretty much like why we're spending like 24/7 in the space, right? But there's a long process from like where we are to like that ideal world where like everyone's in custody of their keys and, you know, all of that. And you, you know, you'll see this like every step of the way, right? You have this, you know, every cycle, I feel like there's one like real estate on the blockchain company kind of thing, for example, that comes in and everything looks great until you realize that, well, if I get hacked, like I lose access to my house kind of thing. You know, there's like some level of real world sometimes that gets like in between that ideal world that you're envisioning versus, you know, what exists. And for us, like it's almost like it's that intermediate solution. So kind of like a Web 2.5-esque play. And for us, that is the Roll wallet and APIs. And so like when you talk about Discord, right? So like Discord does not know about Ethereum. Discord knows about, the source of truth on Discord is like a channel. So like, how would I, but what we want, the world we want is that you could be a gaming channel. You could say, you know, hey, today is like a big sporting event, like an esports event. And I come in and I say, every single person who's active right now will get one social token, like right now, just because it's Sunday morning and, you know, we're excited. And maybe there's like 100,000 people there. And so like doing 100,000 transactions on chain is very challenging, to say the least, you know, from a cost and all that perspective, right? And so, but imagine a world where you can just then connect your Discord to your account at Roll. Like, we will manage all of your wallet infrastructure on the back end on our side. And you have access to that one token instantly. And then you can turn around and tip it to someone on Twitter. Or you could stream it out on Twitch, right? Like, maybe you're a Twitch streamer. So this world of interconnectivity becomes possible, because end of the day, the real value of social tokens is exactly that aspect, which is not tied to a single platform, right? And that platform should not be Roll either. So it's not, we hate Facebook, so everyone come join my community kind of thing. It's more like, you know, we hate Facebook, but we don't, it's not Facebook as a company, it's what Facebook represents, right? It's a representation of this walled garden where they can change the rules anytime. But like with this kind of a Web 2.5 approach, what you kind of get is, once you get that one token on Discord, you can instantly withdraw it. And then you could use it on Web3. You could stake it. You could become a liquidity provider. You could do all sorts of things, right? And then completely out of our control. But if you want to do like engage in your community in this more Web2 way, which is the reality of the web today, you can retain that in your Roll wallet. And then you have this whole ecosystem of apps that you could then go on and use it in.
That's such an interesting thought that, well, first of all, if I take it back to the 4chan argument, that is the last thing that you would want in a DAO. Is 4chan being able to come on and start messing with your outcomes in terms of voting and everything, which is actually a really good solution that Web3 provides, because it's got that that level of security and that level of tokens in between making a decision, so that people, only the people that have the token, can actually vote, which is obviously a huge, like, great solution for that. I've also never heard anyone say the term Web 2.5. That's actually really interesting, because obviously we're going from this everyone's using Pinterest, everyone's using Instagram kind of world to, whoa, we're you know, so deep in the metaverse that, like, you know, this random music streaming platform that streams music in the metaverse is, like, you know, it's the other end of the spectrum, right? And so it's really cool that kind of Roll is sort of in that space where it's trying to bring the two, like, together and trying to bridge that gap a little. So more than just Roll memberships, another thing that I saw was Roll staking. Does that integrate with, say, an Aave or an Anchor or something like that? Like, how does Roll staking work?
Yeah, so like staking for us is more like a traditional DeFi primitive. So it will like plug into like LPs. But like, again, like taking a step back, like the idea with staking is, in the Web2 world, there's a way you show appreciation for an artist or, you know, someone that you follow. That could be like a like or a follow. The problem with that is those are pretty cheap. So you can have a million followers on Instagram and that's, you know, you just click a button and you're done, right? But in the Web3, almost like an equivalent of a subscriber, a like in Web3, is to become a liquidity provider. But it's a significantly higher signal as well, which is to say that if you actually have an Instagram channel and you have a million followers, like, how many of those do you know? You know, you probably know your friend from high school who still follows you, but that's kind of it, right? Like, you don't really like interact with them because it gets overwhelming. And if we have like seen some of the DMs of people on the other side, and it's wild. Like, you know, you're like on the call with them and you'll get like three random messages from people, right? It's just, you can't like keep that up, right? But like with something like liquidity providing, or like even holding social tokens, right? Like Harrison First, for example, like does, like, if you have, you know, 100 first, you can be part of something bigger. Those are like inherently scarce, right? And Web3 does scarcity very well too. So in some ways, you're also like curating your follower base. So when you become a liquidity provider, you are not just, you're kind of like adding value to this community in this way, which helps anyone easily enter or exit the community. Once you become a liquidity provider, an AMM like Uniswap, for example, And then you can like stake those tokens and you're rewarded for that. And then the community can decide how much that's valuable to the community, right? Like maybe it's not valuable at all, in which case, you know, no need to use staking at all. Or it's just like, you know, you can allocate, let's say, 100 tokens for this month and 200 tokens next month. So you have that flexibility to do that. So that's like one part of staking. But the other part is also distribution, which is, so, you know, you have these like airdrops and, you know, just all the other things like that. But, you know, those kind of look spammy, right? Like you just like got some random token. What the hell does this even mean? But like, imagine you are a musician and you want to follow in Harrison First's footsteps. And what better way to start your DAO off than by giving a portion of your tokens to first holders, right? So of your 10 million tokens, you can allocate something you want. Let's say even 1%, right? That's 100,000 tokens. And you say, I'm going to run a campaign for 1 week. And whoever stakes first tokens will get a proportionate share of my 100,000 tokens. And now it's an opt-in. It's not an airdrop, like randomly, let's go to Etherscan and, you know, send this token to everyone. It's more like, let's tell people about me. And only if they're interested, like I want to give them my token, right? My token's valuable. I don't want to just spread it to people who don't care about it. So that's another use that we'll kind of see increasingly over time for staking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, so that was what the next thing that I was going to mention, that there's that cross collaboration with staking. So two separate DAOs can essentially collab and have like the native token of one DAO could receive interest in the, you know, DAO A could receive interest in DAO B, DAO B could receive interest in DAO A just for holding each other's tokens, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's also like, it also transcends that. Like we have seen, for example, like, you know, we haven't seen this live yet because it's a fairly recent product launch as well, but like something that people have told us they'll be interested in. So imagine like you're a collector, right? So like Whale is one of the largest NFT art collectors who also has like a social token on Roll called Whale. And like he would like to, so if you like liquidity mine some of the artist tokens, he will give you, so in addition to, let's say, you know, like Skeeny's token being like Skull, for example. So in addition to getting 10,000 Skull as a reward for the month, you can also get like 500 Whale, right? So that's like a very interesting way for someone to show support towards like an emerging artist. And that scales like an insane amount, right? Like if you know, all these like traditional power structures, so like imagine what would be, once you go, you know, let's say like you're a musician, right? And like, what does it mean if like, you know, you're liquidity mining along with like a Jay-Z token, for example? It's a very powerful signal that's kind of like meaningful.
Talking about a few different projects, I looked at one and I'm not sure where this went. It might not have actually fully happened, but it's a really cool concept. I heard of a token called Power, which I read an article. It was a very brief article and it was going to be Terry Crews's token that he was going to roll out with Roll. Did that ever sort of eventuate, or was it kind of just a concept?
No, so that's an interesting question, right? Like part of the impetus for us to build these products was to kind of like quote unquote activate these communities. And like Terry Crews is someone who was thinking about the Web3 space, right? But like we just didn't have all of the tools to make something like that happen. So like a membership or something, like we were waiting for that. So I think there's like a lot of tokens early on where they were interesting experiments to try it out for people. And then it didn't go somewhere more substantial. So part of the reason for us like building these tools is to change that, right? Like is to build better distribution tools, is to build kind of people who are contributing and make it easy for you to enter your DAO. So hey, like, you know, Power isn't very active right now. There was a moment where it was and there were like people involved. But you know, 3 to 6 months from now, it wouldn't surprise me at all, like if that comes back.
Can I ask you the inevitable question about sort of categorization of these tokens from like a regulatory perspective? I know you probably get it every time, but it's probably just interesting to hear your thoughts on it. And I know you do have a background in finance and the tech side of stuff as well. So you've probably got quite a unique perspective. So obviously the chair of the SEC in the US has sort of come out and said, it's like 10,000 tokens. And, you know, most of these are probably going to be seen as some form of securities. And he's like, you know, we're looking forward to working with these projects to, you know, bring them on board and make sure everything's correct and under our guidelines. And then there's obviously the classic Howey test as to whether or not this is determined as being that. Do you have any thoughts? Like, you know, obviously the team's probably like, this is still a developing thing, so no one has an answer, but do you have any sort of reflections on where that's at?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, as you mentioned, it's a very evolving space, right? Like we have contradictory statements from like SEC people already, you know, it's a little bit of that reading the tea leaves kind of thing. Like they will never come out and say, this is a security, right? Or like, this is not a security, which is also like very helpful. So I think like it's kind of like a little bit, and everyone in the industry struggles with this. We kind of see the inevitable future, right? But then we want to kind of steer clear of some of the more obvious like pitfalls right now. So things that we won't issue or like we won't do on Roll. So for example, if you want to, you know, we get these like all the times, if you're trying to like raise money, like through your token. So things like that, we try to stay away from. We kind of steer this more in terms of the language we use, in terms of how we speak about it and how we like want people to like look at us, almost like an FTC graded like crowdfunding loyalty point-esque way. One of the first things we did, in fact, like before we started Roll, so literally before we published our smart contracts back in, you know, like 2018 when we started developing and then 2019 when they went live, was to get a legal opinion from someone who kind of like, you know, from a very notable law firm that would kind of like talk about how these things fall kind of closer, similar, more similar to like an airline miles as opposed to a security or something. And then, you know, there's always this idea of like utility as well. I know that's a kind of a big part, like securities don't have like utilities, you know, Apple stock, you just hold it for, you know, the capital appreciation and interest payment. Like, it's not like you do something with it. So like at Roll, it's almost all like we have like a rewards product. And then we also like pull data from OpenSea and all that for NFT people. And over time, the ecosystem will grow, right? So there's always like people hold the tokens because you can get access to first community, for example. So it's a very different paradigm than, you know, like I'm holding this as like an investment contract. So yeah, I think I would say like, you know, we're trying our best, obviously. And then there's, you know, a lot of the things we are doing on the background for just like legal clarifications and, you know, probably like refresh that memo soon as well. So like get another thing reflecting the reality in 2022. But yeah, I think like we're trying to do as best as we can to play by the rules.
Love it. Yeah, that's what you can do.
Yeah, making tiers in your membership structure. Say you're onboarding a new person that's going to come and use the social token structure. It's so it's something that Roll allows, and it has like basically I listened to this podcast. It's called My First Million, and basically there's basically this newsletter that that was kind of originally this one of the host's businesses basically, and it has like a free newsletter option which heaps of people sign up for, and he does ad sales and stuff like that. And then there's a membership, which is like a $300 membership. And basically he said if he was going to do it again, he would make like a $20 product and a $10,000 product. And the $20 product would be like this customer acquisition, like this is our basic membership. And the $10,000 product would be like, just because the people that value it at $2,000 are still going to value it at $10,000. They're the same people. They're already spending a crazy amount of money. Just make more money, like just up your price and work better as a business, you know, because then, you know, it's going to work better for you. So how do you advise people when they're choosing, say, like the spacing between the tiers of their pricing? Do they ever say like, yeah, I'm going to sell my memberships for $1 and you're just like, oh, you should make it $5, you know, something like that. Do you ever have like those kind of conversations when you're onboarding?
Yeah, so like we are having those, but the honest answer to your question is we don't know. We have some guesses, just like you have some guess, you know, and, you know, we've seen a little more data, but like your guess wouldn't be too far off from like what we would guess. So generally, like what we would do is like we would run this experiment like 100 times, right? And then we would look at the most successful ones and then like try to get and say like, hey, actually, like this worked out pretty well for this. It could also be sometimes category based, right? It might be like one thing that works out really well for musicians may really work out badly for, you know, some influencers or, you know, in some other genre. So I think like, no, for us, like right now, we're kind of seeing, it's also like very market based, right? Like crypto, everything kind of is. So it's very hard to like know how best to like price that because something that might work today may not work, you know, like two months from now and the market conditions are very different. So I think it's always going to be like a little bit of an evolving game as to like how this goes. There is an opportunity for arbitrage though. Like this is, you know, something with some, you know, like traders can always fill in because some of these tokens are traded on Uniswap or have some AMMs. And so then there's a price that's set by the AMM, which is continuous. And like we set a discrete price for n number of days and those price could go out of whack. And so then, you know, you can kind of like buy and sell. So like maybe that's like one mechanism in which kind of price discovery happens easier. But like, yeah, like honest answer to your question is it's a hard question. I think it's a tough thing to price. And, you know, we would love that. You know, I think you briefly mentioned earlier about like an SDK. You know, like the whole idea of the SDK is like we can let, so instead of going to like staking.tryroll.com, and so let's say like you guys were using our SDK and like you want to onboard, let's say like musicians onto like crypto, then you would literally go to like anotherblockstudios.com/staking and you'll have your own UI. Like that's where you will go. And we will power the whole thing on a smart contract level, right? You'll just connect through us and we'll give you the front ends and designs. You'll just change the colors, change the logo, and it's your product, right? You can run that. The back end, it's all our contracts. So it kind of goes through the same contracts. And yeah, like now you own the product and we see like a lot of people in the traditional creator world. So think of like your agencies, like that's a really sweet model for them because like they want to get into Web3. They want to help their clients get into Web3, but there's no easy way. And you don't want to like necessarily like kind of leave that relationship in the hands of a third party, right? And so like you can put this on, you know, like CAA's website, for example, if they want to introduce staking to their to their clients.
Yeah, gotcha. That's interesting. So in regards to Roll itself, I noticed probably about 12 months ago now, I think you did your Series A round of funding. And it was looked like it was led by a pretty big project. I think it was IOSG Ventures. And they've done like Polkadot and Avalanche and I think even like MetaMask and stuff like that, which is pretty awesome. And then I think I noticed like maybe you could clarify here, but early on, you might have even got some investment from an individual named Biology, which is pretty cool. Is that true? And so, like, we follow Biology. I think he's really cool and sort of he's got a good idea of where things are going. And so that gives a lot of clout to what you're doing, I think, to be honest. And so, yeah, could you talk a little bit about if that's correct? And then maybe even give us a bit of a sense of the team, how it's grown over time. I think you started, was it 2017 or something where you guys started? And so, you know, where is it now? What's the team look like? Stuff like that.
Yeah, so like our story, like when we started, we were like a completely different business. In like 2018 or so is when we kind of like officially were like moving in this direction. And then our contracts launched on like 2019 or so when we had our first customers and like use the first social tokens and all that. Yeah, and then, you know, it's kind of been that journey since. Yeah, like we have like a really good set of investors, I would say. So yeah, like people like Balaji like jumped in the round as well, kind of like right after our seed round. We have like, you know, folks like IOSG, kind of very crypto native people kind of in there. Some like more traditional VCs as well. So if you know like Ryan Hoover from Product Hunt, so like he's he jumped in through like the Weekend Fund, for example. And then, you know, yeah, like some other like very good angels as well, who have generally been pretty helpful, you know, just connecting us with people, just, you know, bouncing ideas off and all that. So pretty happy. And like a good, I would say like a good investor break between like the more traditional like Web2 kind of investors. So have like built products in Web2, you know, like Product Hunt, for example, and then like Web3 native people, which, you know, does come with its own challenges. So yeah, you know, like that's kind of like once we reached our Series A. So we are at about like 17 people or so right now, kind of a little more tech heavy, like a few on the community building side. And yeah, like pretty much like right now for us, you know, like post fundraising is pretty much like heads down building those products. So like the next few, you know, we had like a big goal of launching both like staking and membership like within this quarter, which we like accomplished and like very happy with that. So we've gone through like the whole audit with Trail of Bits and all that. And so, you know, we'll have the audit reports out soon too. And yeah, so like further like the next, you know, like 1 to 2 quarters, it's all about for us like getting those platform partnerships with like Series A, B, C level. And we already have like way more interest than we can fulfill right now, which is a good problem to have, but we also need to build a lot of things on the back end. So like imagine, you know, like the Discord example that we mentioned, right? Like imagine going to a Discord channel and just like mass distributing your social tokens, right? Or imagine going to like a new video or like a streaming platform, right? And you say that in order to watch me stream, you have to have at least 100 of my social tokens. Or, you know, we have like these kind of like Discord-esque like group chat platforms or like group video apps. And then in order to be part of this group, like you have to hold at least 1,000 social tokens. So like people want to do all these things natively on their app. So like they can do that with our APIs once we build them out.
I love it. That's awesome.
Sid Carla, he's venture backed by the best. He's check out Roll memberships, check out Roll staking, make your own social token, get your fans on it. Sid, where can people go to find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter. I'm Sid Cal, that's S-I-D-K-A-L. But, you know, we have a lot of information on this tryroll.com as well, and you can find any information. And you can also, like, always just reach me by email. I'm just sid@tryroll.com.
Beautiful. That's so awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I mean, I know it's busy. Like you say, you're investing and you've got time that you need to put into other stuff. And so thank you so much for talking to us today.
No, I love talking about this thing. So thanks, Nathan. Thanks, Isaac. Really nice talking to you guys.